Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio on Location. What a wonderful name, Habitat for Humanity. There's a need for housing, for shelter for all human beings. Habitat for Humanity, established 49 years ago, has built thousands of houses with prospective homeowners, sweat equity, donated labor, materials, and favorable financing to make this possible. I personally read a seminal work by their founder, Millard Fuller, No More Shacks, shortly after their founding, and was inspiration to me. I've watched Habitat for Humanity, founded in Americus, Georgia, has come to our communities of Grand Rapids, Cadillac, Kalamazoo, Holland, you name it, and most of our Strong Tower Radio listening. In fact, my son joined a volunteer home building crew in Tennessee and found great satisfaction. You may have recognized the Restore Store more than their founding organization. The Restore Store is a revenue generator, much like a thrift store due for various mission projects, but for the building trades where manufacturers have excess usable material or their salvaged materials from renovations are diverted from the landfill for a win-win solution. Personally sharing experiences here at Strong Tower Radio, our donated furniture over abundance, we donated it to, of course, the Restore Store here in the Cadillac area after we received a whole building full of television equipment for their station. This week, we are buying carpet tiles to improve the acoustics at for our ASI International Studio here in Cadillac. Personally, one of the most beautiful headboards, and stands came from this very Restore Store, and also a beautiful leaded glass window that now graces our house. Today, we are honored to start our interview with Michigan's Habitat for Humanity's president and CEO, Don Wilkinson. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio on Location, Don.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
There couldn't be a better place to be than at the Cadillac Restore Store.
I would agree with that. They do a great job here in Cadillac, and they've got a fantastic store.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about this store in a little bit, but we also have the Cadillac Area Habitat for Humanity Executive Director, Amy Gibbs. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having us today.
And we also have Teresa, who is the manager of this store, so we'll get all the right answers. We have Teresa, who is the building manager for Habit. Okay, Teresa, what do you do?
Hi, I'm the volunteer coordinator and priority home repair coordinator.
Absolutely, and that's the reason why you're part of this program, is the priority home program. We have Dan Carlson, who has been on our program. He's a veteran, and welcome back, Dan.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Always glad to have you. And I forgot my on-air host, which is Jelaine Fenner. Welcome, Jelaine.
I'm glad to be here, and I do shop here occasionally. This is a wonderful store. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely. It's always a wonderful opportunity to come in and find something of value that you can use. Jelaine, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you thanking you that you love us so much and you forgive us so much. And Lord, we are so thankful that you touch people's hearts that want to help others. We're very thankful for the Habitat Humanity program that has started and has built thousands of homes for people that needed it. We just pray that this program will be a blessing to our listeners and that they may learn something more about Habitat and the Restore and how they maybe can be helping their communities like this organization does. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and how we can help others We ask this in your name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to start out with Amy. You know, Amy, this is a happy place.
It sure is. I call it my God job. Your I think God. I said that the last time we were together. This is my God job.
It's just so many people are so blessed with this institute. It's a place to give, to be a part of the community. It's a time to get things. We've got so much more to share, and we'll be taking the tour of the shop in a minute. But Don, we have the pleasure of having you here. Thank you for prioritizing your time to be a part of this broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, and it's a great honor to be here for sure, Tom. Thank you.
So I've got a question for Don first, then I'm going to ask Amy. So how did you get involved with Habitat?
Well, that's an interesting story. I was in private industry for about 40 years of my career. I'm an engineer by trade, so got to build plants and factories kind of all over North America. Very much enjoyed the work that I had there, but also knew that I wanted to do something in the nonprofit world. Wanted to be a part of something that helped launch people into the world, not just give them, some help for the time being and, almost the be warm, be filled, and pat them on the back and tell them to go. We wanted to be able to impact people long term. And so the executive director of Lakeshore Habitat down in Holland, Michigan, was a friend of mine, used to be a coworker of mine. We were having lunch one day, and he told me he was going to retire. And I thought, man, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll put my hat in the ring for that job. Lo and behold, the next Friday morning, I'm having breakfast with the president and a board member who were both former colleagues of mine. I had no idea they were on the board of Habitat. So I figured I had an in, good opportunity, gave them a resume, and then I started down there in 2016, was the executive director for Lakeshore Habitat for 8 years. And then was serving on the board of Habitat for Humanity of Michigan. And I would say that I was probably a little vocal about what I thought was going on there. So when the president and CEO resigned from there, I actually threw my hat in the ring for that job. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm right where God wants me to be right now.
Mm-hmm. That's always the best place to be. And I feel Strong Tower Radio is that place.
That's right. So Amy, how did you get involved with Habitat?
Yeah, so I had always been a business owner here locally. I worked in the accounting field and was serving on a lot of these different nonprofit boards, not Habitat, but I had a friend say to me, we need a director at Habitat. You should apply. I'm like, no, that I haven't done that. Like, I've been on the boards. I've hired those people in those positions. So I went into the interview fully not even thinking I'd get it. I just did it, and I got the job, came to work here. I realized this is everything I wanted to do right here. Mm-hmm. I get to help people. I get to serve the community. I get to do the business piece, which I feel I'm fairly good at with the whole budgeting part, which is what, makes or breaks a business. But yeah, so it's just like I said earlier, it's my God job, and I thank God every day that I'm here.
So how long have you been with the Habitat in Cadillac?
6 years.
It's been exciting. I came to Kalamazoo, and I remember you joining the organization during that time. Don, give us that big picture. I read that book, No More Shacks, years ago, and it would just completely, this is the way things should be. Will you share that story with our listeners so they can get the picture of No More Shacks?
Yeah, so Millard Fuller had this vision that everybody should have a safe, decent, and affordable place to live. And he decided to put that into action by working with people who maybe couldn't afford a house, but would actually put in the sweat equity and the time in order to build their house. And so he got a group of people together that worked on their house, on their neighbor's house, and so on down the line. And that was really the birth of the model of Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity's mission statement is seeking to put God's love into action. Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, community, and hope. And I think that's just been the essence. It brings people together, homeowners, volunteers, donors in the community together in order to build a safe, decent, and affordable house for people to live in.
So now Habitat for Humanity is not just in the United States, is that correct?
That's correct. It's all over the world. I think it's in every country in the world now. And it's kind of a unique model. So Habitat in North America, both Canada and the United States, from some of their proceeds, they give a tithe to Habitat International, and that's how the international work is funded. And the great thing about it being all over the world is they actually build the homes that are needed in different parts of the world. So I had the chance to go to El Salvador on what they call a global mission trip. There we built a, it was about a 12 by 12 cement block building, but it was built to withstand the earthquakes that they have down there. Had a nice kitchen, a nice living room, and two bedrooms, and that's what they needed there. By the same token, in Guatemala, they don't necessarily build homes, they just build the kitchen there, because down there, one of the biggest contributors to disease is the unsafe kitchens that they have. So those kitchens have water filters in them, they have stoves, they have, you know, usually outside stoves, but they're built in order for the mom, I don't want to say that because I don't want to stereotype, but in order to be able to cook and have a clean way to prepare food for them.
That's something I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
So literally it's contextual.
Yeah.
You're not taking a cookie cutter and putting it all around the world. You're putting it, and what strikes me is that with this, you're building just kitchens, they probably can build the rest of the house. This is making the dollars go further.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So they usually have a house built. It's just with an unsanitary kitchen. You know, one other example of that is in Poland, they take old apartment buildings and remodel them and turn them into condominiums there because they have the building there. So they're able to do that. So, yeah, it's really specific to the country that they're building in.
You know, here in America, we assume that people own their houses or have the opportunity or come close to the opportunity. But in many countries of the world, people do not own their own, even their own condominium, their own house. This is an anomaly. We have a higher ownership, occupant ownership, than any other place probably in the world. But it's contextualized.
Yep.
They need it. That's what you're going to provide. To give us the big picture. How big in the United States, give, and then here in our own territory, Michigan, how big Habitat Humanity? What is the impact?
Okay. So in the United States, I believe there are 1,000 affiliates, or roughly 1,000 affiliates, in every state in the union.
That's mind-boggling in itself.
It is. And I believe last year they built somewhere close to 4,000 homes. And the same token, they also do a major home repair project. And from those home repairs, the whole hope of that is that we can help people age in place so that they don't have to move out if they need a roof, if they need a furnace, if they need a hot water heater, those types of things. But it's all centered around home ownership. There's not very many organizations in the United States that work on home ownership. A lot of them do rental units, but for home ownership, Harvard Joint Center for Housing often says the best way to build wealth in the United States is to own your own home. And so Habitat for Humanity helps with that.
So now I have a question then regarding the Restore. When did the Restore come about and how did it come about?
I don't know that I can answer that one. The Restore came about because we were being able to accept donated building materials. And it was also a way to raise the revenue for a local affiliate in order to pay for their overhead. So when you're out raising money to build a home, you're trying to raise enough money to build a home. But as Amy can attest, you also have to have staff. You have to have a volunteer coordinator, a construction manager, you know, all the things that go into building that home. And so the Restore will generate revenue in most places well enough to cover their overhead costs that way.
So, Amy, do you know how many Restores there are here in the United States?
I don't know that, but I was just at a conference out in California where I learned that the first Restore came about, I think it was it Ken Benson?
It might have been. That
Ken
would have been
Benson
our
started, brought Habitat for Humanity to Michigan. He actually was one of the founders of our charter here in Cadillac, but he also was big with a lot of the boots on the ground and getting things started in a lot of these places.
We're at the Restore store, and there's something, who wants to tell about a monumental, special thing, a recognition that has happened to this particular store? Don, will you do that?
Well, I don't want to steal any thunder from Amy, but every year we have what they call an Affiliates in Motion Conference, and that's where we bring all 43 Habitat affiliates in Michigan together for training, celebration. And at that conference, we always honor a homeowner of the year that's nominated by the local affiliates. We honor a large, medium, and small Habitat affiliate of the year, and we honor a restore of the year. And what that is really the Habitat Michigan staff and board of directors takes a look at all the restores around.
The measurements.
Just to see how they're doing, what they've done innovative, if they've opened a new store. And this year, we're honoring Cadillac Area Habitat as the
Woo-hoo!
Restore of the year. And well-deserving, I must say.
Absolutely. We're going to take a tour through the restore store, but we also have Dan Carlson and we have Teresa here as the volunteer coordinator. Tell us about... We saw Dan, he who's on the front page of the Cadillac News, and I'm reading it, and I said, I know that guy. So, Teresa, why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about this program that you have, this Priority Home. What is its purpose?
Well, the purpose is to make repairs for homes that are needed in the area. It started out with veteran funding. At the moment, we've been working with a lot of veterans around the communities that we serve, Osceola, Wexford, and Misaki. And I met Dan when he was already starting to enter the program. And when I came on board a year ago, I got to meet Dan and work with Dan and his contractor that was helping him make the repairs for his home.
So Dan, tell our listeners what this meant to you, why you needed the program, and how you are better off since you've received benefit from this Habitat program.
Well, I'm an old school worker, construction worker, and back in the day, we didn't make the kind of wages they make nowadays, and I'm also... my wife and I are now retired, and we were just finishing up paying on a 10-year contract on an old farmhouse and a little bit of a property, and it was rough. It was a rough old farmhouse, and we fixed it up a lot. I used a lot of reclaimed materials and cupboards and things, my wife and I rebuilt it's really pretty nice now, but it only had one small bathroom, and it had the back room was the ceiling was low. So I went ahead and filled out the paperwork, and we were able to get them things remodeled. And what a blessing it was for us, it really. For all the grandkids to have a bathroom upstairs, just a half bath and stuff like that, but it was really a blessing.
After so many guests in the house, you need that second bathroom.
Yeah.
So, Teresa, this was because of working with the veterans, because I know Dan's a veteran, and so that's how this came about, helping him. He applied.
So the funding is actually a grant funding through HUD. And Habitat Michigan applied for this grant, and then it kind of trickled down. So our affiliate was able to help through application. They come in, they fill out an application. At the moment, or for that time, we were only helping veterans because that was the only funding available. And now, soon, we will have some funding for non-veteran repairs as well.
This is Amy. I just wanted to add that this grant is for health and safety. So this grant is to keep people in their homes. We all know how important a home is. We want to make sure that we can keep people in their homes. This is their, their generational wealth. So this health and safety grant allowed, Dan and his wife to stay in the house and age in place. So that's a lot of what this funding is for.
So this program is available across the state of Michigan. Is there still funding for this program?
There is right now funding for the program. Not all affiliates use it. A lot of affiliates find funding through other ways, but this is kind of how we got our fingers into the pot. We wanted to try and work through it in a way that Habitat Michigan kind of administers the application for us. We accept it. They review it, and they have the grant funding. But we're really, because we have hired this Priority Home Repair Coordinator, Teresa, and she's been doing so well on all of these grants, we are the pilot program for the non-veteran funding, which has just come down the pipeline. So we have our first application in for that, and once we get through that, we'll be able to accept applications for non-veterans as well.
So can our listeners in the state of Michigan reach out to their local affiliate of Habitat for Humanity to apply for this program?
I would encourage that. All affiliates do it differently. So this, we're telling you today how Cadillac does it for Wexford, Osceola, and Misaukee, but all affiliates have access to this fund. So not sure if they do the same program.
So can they go online, something for Habitat, to find out about their local one?
Yes. Most affiliates, right, Don, have a website that would have the information.
Yes, they do. And if they can't find it on there, they can go on to Habitat International's website, put in their zip code, and that will take them to their local affiliate as well. And I just want to add, so this grant that Dan was able to obtain is called a VHRMP grant, and it's Veterans Something-Something Repair Grant. And that is actually going away, but we're in the process of starting something called the Veterans Trust Fund. And this Veterans Trust Fund will be administered almost exactly the same way. It'll be to help veterans with a home repair, but it will also be able to help a widow of a veteran with their home repair as well. So it's a good possibility there. The website for Habitat International is just www.habitatinternational. And once you get in there, there's a banner that says Find Your Local Affiliate. And you click on that and go to the block that lets you put in your zip code in that. Amy's website is?
I wanted to add that would be .org at the end of that international one. Ours is www.CadillacAreaHabitat.org.
Very good. Well, we're going to go to a break. And Dan, thank you so much. And thank you, Teresa, for enlightening our audience. There will be some people helped by this particular information. We'll be right back, and we have 40 more minutes of Habitat touring. Stay tuned.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Majura.
And Tom, we are on location at the Habitat for Humanity Restore here in Cadillac, Michigan. And this is a wonderful restore. I've been to several of them. This is quite a big one. They're not all this big, are they, Amy?
No, they are not. There's different sizes. So we're probably like a medium sized, really.
Okay. And the donations come from usually the area. Do you have like vendors that maybe manufacturers might donate things brand new?
We don't. I know there are some restores that do get some items like seconds or overages from some manufacturers. We have not been lucky enough, so if any manufacturers are out there that would like to, please call the Cadillac Area Restore. But most of our donations come from our community, from either businesses or individuals that live in our community that want to give back, want to help support, knowing that all of the funds that we make at our restore goes right back into this community to build safe and affordable housing.
Very good. So literally, could you share with us how the donation from the time it's donated to it's allocated to reinvested back here in the community.
So people will come and donate to our local ReStore. We have a team of staff in the ReStore that tests it, cleans it, makes sure it works, all of the things to make sure that we are putting a quality product out on the sales floor. And then, you know, clients, customers come in and buy those items and repurpose them and take them home and use them.
Absolutely. Personally, I mentioned about the leaded glass. Went back and got the size door I needed, but the leaded glass, it makes a wonderful between our mudroom, which is kind of the outer house, to the inner house. And during the winter, it's nice to have that barrier between those two areas. And we've also gone down and we've got some kitchen cabinets and put them in our canning kitchen. So many purposes.
Well, and one thing I have found, because like I donate things and then I come back and I buy something different. But even though some are slightly used, some things look almost brand new. So folks, if you need things, come to a ReStore before you go to a regular store to buy and you'll save money.
I actually have kind of a cute story I'd like to share. We just did some renovations in the office here at Habitat for my office, and every piece of furniture in my office has been repurposed from the ReStore. So I had a former board member who loves to decorate, and she came and picked pieces. She'd bought legs for a few of the pieces, painted them. I mean, if you look at my office, it is amazing, and every single thing in here was from our ReStore. So I'd love to share that, and
absolutely,
I invite anyone in the community to come look, because it's perfectly rehabbed.
Well, it's a showroom.
It is.
Yeah. You know, explain how the ReStore store is a win-win-win for the consumer, the donator, and the Habitat program.
Yeah, so the win-win-win part of that comes with the fact that people are able to donate their items to a good cause. This keeps it out of the landfill. This helps, you know, with some of the waste that happens. We are able to then resell that to people who are able to, you know, use those items. And a lot of the items are quality made. They just need a little hand, you know, a little help, a little, you know, beautification or whatever it is that needs to happen. And we really enjoy to do that and help our community. And like I said earlier, all funds that we make at our ReStore stays locally here for safe and affordable housing.
And that's true for all the ReStores. It's the money that they get from selling items stays in that community.
Correct.
And if I can add one other thing to that, the local community, the ReStore also hires people from the local community, so it becomes an employer in the local community as well.
Why don't we go take a tour? We've talked about it. Let's go see it.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we're leaving your well-furnished office with ReStore store items.
We also, as we're walking out here, I'll add that we have Jada here now who is doing a lot of our eBay. So we get in unique finds, one of a kinds. And you can, you know, look online and see what an item is valued at. And so some of those higher end items we post on eBay and we are able to, you know, hit a bigger reach of people who may be interested in that.
So then somebody's on eBay and they want to buy it. And even though they're not in our area, though, the money comes here and you send it wherever
it
needs to go.
It's a local sale for our ReStore, yep.
So we're coming into the office here. There's a wonderful fun facts board here, like an old school bulletin board. Tell us about this, Amy.
Yeah, so I was looking on here because you asked earlier when our ReStore opened, and I thought for sure it was on here and I'm not seeing it, but we did, our affiliate started in 1987, and our ReStore now is coming up on its 20th anniversary in October. So we are doing a 20th anniversary open house on the 10th of October. So please come and join us all day for some great, you know, items, drawings, specials, different things that we will have going on that celebration day for us.
Tell us, read the rest of the facts that you have here.
So we merged with Osceola County in 2015 and with Missaukee County in 2023. We have served families in Wexford, Osceola, and Missaukee counties to help achieve their dream of home ownership. We've served over 50 families with permanent housing and have completed over 50 A Brush with Kindness projects, and we started 36 years ago. We also, 2 years ago, started a priority home repair program where we have been able to help 22 families with grants that we get for those families to keep them in their houses. So we do serve families that are in the 30 to 80% of the HUD median incomes, and we just create generational wealth with everything that we do for families.
And you have a thing that says 300 plus volunteer hours of sweat equity.
That is what a family has to do when we build their house. They are required to do a minimum of 300 hours of sweat equity to help build that house.
You know, that might sound like a lot, but when you're building a house, 300 hours.
And working full time, and most of our families have kiddos that are in all kinds of different things. And so 300 hours is a good number. That it's kind of the general number. I know some affiliates do more, some do less, but we have stuck with that 300. And what we like to say for our families is they walk away with a home, a mortgage, and a future, that we are not a safety net. We're a trampoline for our families.
All right. We're entering the store kind of from the backside. Give us a tour, explain it, give directions and sizes and all those wonderful dimensions for our radio listening audience.
Yeah, so as you walk through the front door of our ReStore, you're going to come across the picture wall. We have all of our pictures up that are really kind of nice visibly seen, and there's some beautiful artwork and different pictures that you see.
It's about 60 feet of by about 12 feet high of a variety of pictures.
Yeah, and then we have a kind of a unique thing that we do here. Not all affiliates do it, but we do. It's called our Fab Rehab. This is where we put the unique finds, the one-of-a-kinds. We kind of want to showcase them in a little bit. So it's a place to find unique gifts, one-of-a-kinds, and thoughtfully refurbished furniture.
It would occur to me that if you need a gift for somebody, this might be the first place you stop.
Exactly. Actually, my husband tells me if I bring something home, I have to take something out because I'm shopping every single day I come in.
Occupational hazard.
Yes, it is. As we continue to walk through the ReStore, we do carry new mattresses. We were having a lot of requests for mattresses, and so we work with some local agencies that have vouchers for mattresses, and so we sell those to the public and also through those that voucher
program.
But
they're not used.
They're not used. They're new. We don't want to get into that space. So yes, they're new mattresses. Yep.
So I see a whole dining room of all kinds of tables and cabinets and things like that.
Yes, we have. This is now we're walking into this kind of the midsection of our ReStore. We're walking into the space that has all of the kind of like dining room furniture, like you said, and kind of the kitchen stuff and some appliances. We do also carry a few purchased items. One of those is carpet squares. So we have a good selection of carpet squares that you can do. I know that you mentioned you guys are going to be using some in your space. So we have all kinds of different colors, and those are new carpet squares that are easily, a person can put those in themselves.
And you know that if Strong Tower Radio is going to use it, it's got to be good.
Yes. Then we are continuing to walk through the ReStore back to by where the register is in the back entrance, and we're able to see that we have a lot of kind of like small items. We actually have a drum set in right now, so if anyone's into music, they can come in and get a drum set. We also have lamps. We have cabinets. We have just kind of knick-knacky type things. And another one of our purchased products is paint. We have new paint that we get in, and we sell that for $17.99 a gallon.
Well, that's a good price too.
And we're out right now, so come like in a week or two when we're restocked. It goes quick.
So you need to come often.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You need, if you're looking for things, you need to come here often.
It's a new store every day.
That's right.
We are constantly putting stuff out, new stuff. So
how many volunteers do you have here at the store? I know you have some paid employees.
Yeah, so we have, we consistently maybe have 1 to 2 volunteers a week that come in. This is kind of where our partner families who we're building homes for start, because they have to put 30 hours in before we start their house. So they come and, you know, do their time here in the ReStore.
Sounds good. You know, I am so excited about our next segment, which is going to be going to actually houses. That's kind of the heart and soul, the beginning of Habitat for Humanity. So we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to transition. When you hear us back, it's Tom and Jelaine for Strong Tower Radio on location. We'll be right back.
Green trees and green grass gives us freely and cheerfully life-sustaining oxygen. Your green backs, when put to work for the Lord at Strong Tower Radio, can result in life-sustaining salvation to the lost, the effects of which can literally last forever. If you'd like to help change someone's life and be a cheerful giver to the cause of God, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. Thanks for listening to, praying for, and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is changing lives, one listener at a time.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner here with
Tom Majure.
And we are on location in Cadillac, Michigan. We've been interviewing Habitat for Humanity and their ReStore here in the Cadillac area. And this is wonderful, Tom.
I think this is the best part of the whole interview. This is the essence of what Making Homes for People is all about. We're standing, there's two lots right here, two houses being built side by side, and we're going to let Amy Gibbs, the director, executive director of the Cadillac office, tell us about all the excitement right here.
So first, before I have a question, how do you get the lots, the land? Is it always donated? Do people buy them?
It is a combination of all and more. So these lots currently right now were purchased by the Cadillac Area Community Foundation for Habitat to build on. So
they donated them
to Habitat. So we have these two lots and one across the way, across the street, that we will hopefully build on next year. But we also get donated lots. We have purchased lots. Right now we do have some lots in Wexford County, but we also service Misaukee and Osceola. So we are looking for some lots in those counties as well.
So listeners, if you happen to be in the area and
anywhere.
Well, I'm just thinking, yeah, if they want to come and buy, but they have a lot that they're just paying taxes on, maybe they should donate it to Habitat for Humanity.
Yes, and most affiliates across Michigan and across the United States do love a donated lot.
Okay.
What is a donated lot in the total scheme of paying the cost of building a house?
So it varies from whether you're in the city limits, because usually they're city utilities. So the lots are a little bit more expensive in the city limits. And Don, if you have any other ideas across the state of Michigan?
Yeah, so it's better if you've got water and sewer in the city limits. However, we do build a lot of homes that are on well and septic systems. And
that's an additional cost.
Yeah, an additional cost. And it ranges across the state of Michigan. You have some places like Detroit, Flint, that they've got houses that the city themselves are demolishing and asking Habitat to build homes on. We love those lots, but you get into the Grand Rapids, Holland area, it costs about $56,000 to develop a lot before you start building. So that's the price of the lot, that's the cost of water and sewer hookup and some of the site work that needs to be done.
You know, and that sounds like a lot of money, but it depends on the area, mm-hmm. how much lots cost.
Very much so. Very much so.
Now, we're standing out here sounding like real estate agents here. Jelaine is a real estate agent. But what is the cost? You have a target cost that you're trying to, you want this to be affordable house. We've got $50,000 into the lot. How much does the structure cost?
So we can build a house for about $150,000 here in our area. I know other affiliates I heard yesterday up in Northeast, it's about $180,000 for them to build a house. And I'm not sure in some of the bigger cities.
Some of the bigger metropolitan areas, you're looking at about $230,000 to build a home. But some areas, like what Amy's saying, I mean, there's some places that they can build them for $125,000, $130,000. And we're able to achieve that through mostly volunteer labor, which makes a big difference in what we do.
And one One thing I want to add is that does not mean it's a substandard house. Our houses come in at some of the most highly efficient houses in the state of Michigan. We do strive to be energy efficient. We want
to. The family has to sustain it, and if you have
absolutely.
High utility costs, that's part of sustainable ownership.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say on average, our Habitat homeowners pay less than $85 a month for all their utilities. On average,
that's great.
They're very efficient homes.
Well, we're standing right out here, and it's time to mount the steps and go into this house.
So a little history about this house here. We have a family that is coming into this house, a single mom with four kiddos, and she was currently living in some apartment-style housing in the area, and she wanted her own home for her kids. So we typically build a 1,056-square-foot house, three-bedroom, two-bath. Typically, it does not have a basement. This one does because of the amount of bedrooms we need. But there is some criteria that Habitat International puts out because we do safe, affordable. We don't do custom-built housing. And we want to make sure that the families are able to afford the house for generations to come.
Now, the houses don't have garages, or do some of them?
We don't here yet. We have a few affiliates close. I know Traverse City does do garages, and I know a lot of the other affiliates do. Maybe down the road we will, but right now we start out with just the safe, affordable structure for them. We also include a shed so they can store any other lawn, you know, equipment or lawnmower, snowblowers that we need in there.
Yeah, which I think that's something important to point out is, and I don't know whether you guys take advantage of this, but we have a partnership with the Michigan Department of Corrections, and we have inmates actually build some sheds for us that we can buy at a discount, basically material costs. They also have a cabinet shop, so a lot of times
of a kitchen.
Yep, and it's pretty amazing because the inmates that build the sheds are ones that will actually take that trade once they're released and go use it. The ones that do the cabinets actually are typically inmates that are in for life, but they take very great pride in what they do. And I've had a chance to go in and talk to them about what they're doing. And it's pretty amazing to see them kind of get choked up when we talk about the families they're serving. So really gives them a sense of worth. Plus, you know, it's a training ground for them.
We do utilize that program, and it has been a lifesaver. Part of why we can keep those costs down. So we typically get the kitchen cabinets, the bathroom cabinets, the countertops, and the sheds through that
program. So now I have a question then, because you said like in our area maybe about $150,000 is the average price. Is that what the mortgage is?
So that is different for every family. We have to sell at appraised value. Our last house that was this footprint came in at $256,000 as an appraised value. The family could not get that full mortgage. That's where Habitat comes into this. We then are able to find stackable down payments for them from different funders. There's a certain debt to income ratio that family has to have to make it affordable. We as Habitat then silent second mortgage that house. So that is a forgivable loan, not forgivable, but they never have to pay that back as long as they stay in the house. So that's how we make it affordable. That's how we then have to do our fundraising so that we can continue to do business.
Because they are getting a mortgage.
Yes. Yep. They have to have decent credit. They have to have a debt to income ratio that makes it affordable for them. So they have to do some legwork. We require all of our families here locally to go through a financial coaching course through Habitat Michigan. That gets them mortgage ready.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea how well the financial planning classes work is the foreclosure rate on a Habitat home, and sometimes that does happen, but the foreclosure rate is around 3%. On average, a bank that won't loan our homeowners money, their foreclosure rate is close to 10%. So the financial planning classes and the sweat equity really work as a model.
Wow. Tell us about the process from that they go from the time that they place an application to, and you shared with us, you have different time frames and such, but at least here would be one model of how this is done. And that's why you have the successful one-third the default rate of a typical home
with this typical family?
Yeah, so I'll start out with once a habitat family, always a habitat family. So if they ever do have any of those difficulties, we work through that with them. We do not want them to foreclose. We want them to stay in the house.
Absolutely.
So we kind of can do some modifications or, you know, get them back into classes, find out why they're having that difficulty. But our open enrollment is the month of October here in Cadillac area. So for Wexford, Osceola, and Maukee counties, we accept applications for our partner families in October. Our families that we're building on right now, these houses we're standing in, were they submitted applications last October. We start the next spring building the houses, and we hope to have them in the following spring. So it takes about a year and a half to 2 year program with us.
So how many applications do you get? Because then you have to pick somebody.
Last year we got 26. But our families need to be ready. They need to have a decent, credit score, not 640 like you need to have to get the mortgage, but decent. They have to be willing to partner with us. They have to live in Wexford, Osceola, or Maukee counties, live or work. And they have to have a debt-to-income ratio that makes it where they could get a mortgage. So they have about a six-month period to work on that before we start the house. And then they walk along with the sweat equity, like we mentioned earlier, and we work with the lender, the mortgage company, with that family, because there's a lot of questions they don't know, having probably been a first mortgage for them, or first home that they have.
So last year you had how many?
26 applications. We rank them. We have a committee that goes through and looks at them and sees where they're at, and, you know, are they ready? So some of those families are hopefully going to apply this year because they weren't quite ready last year.
So that's what I was going to say, because you're doing three this year out of those 26 that applied. And so if they didn't get, you know, they weren't accepted because of whatever, maybe they weren't ready, they have to reapply.
Correct. Yep. It kind of wipes clean, and then they fill out another application, and we rank them all together as that group.
What do the applicants and those who get the houses, what do they say about this whole process? I wonder if guessing that this is a life-changing experience.
It is. I remember one of the first families I worked with. It was a veteran. He had four children. I called him the day after they slept in the house for the first time, and he said to me that his daughter came to him the next morning and said, "Dad, it was so quiet last night. There was no wind coming in my window." And I'm like, what? Like, that happens. People live in those circumstances. And, you know, that for that to be what she remembered, to me, was like, wow, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, it's always so much fun to see the kids, especially when they're building the house. You know, they'll grab you by the hand and go, "This is going to be my bedroom."
Yeah.
Because they've never had their own bedroom. They've never had that opportunity. But I think the other thing that's really important to note too is that it's not only the kids that benefit from this. A lot of our homeowners get to take advantage of the educational opportunities that their employers offer. They get a chance to move up and move on in life as well. But I don't remember. It's something like 116% chance more likely for a Habitat kid to go off to college than a non-Habitat kid. I know that a lot of families that we've dealt with in the southern part of the state, they might have moved five or six times in the last year before they got their Habitat home. So it's the stories are pretty heartwarming.
Amy's pointing out something. What do you want us to, there's some writing here, please.
There is.
So we had, I had this family in this particular home say to me, can we sign some studs? Can we write messages before? And I'm like, absolutely. So this one says, "Lord, you are invited into this house. Fill these rooms with love. May this be the place where they live in your grace, and may all who enter here be blessed by you. Amen." So her and her kiddos have signed their bedrooms, their different spots throughout this house, because they wanted to leave their mark on their forever home.
Well, let's go look for them.
So I have a question. So the sweat equity, does that mean the kids also do something?
We have everyone involved. I mean, it can be picking up some of the wood that's out here or some of the trash for the younger kiddos. I mean, obviously we can't have kids under 16 use power equipment on the job site, we would be in trouble with OSHA. But we really try to have them be involved. This is their space. We want them to feel like they helped build this home. So.
Yeah, and even some affiliates will let the kids, they'll give them an hour of sweat equity for every A on their report card and things like that.
Oh,
it's all about getting kids involved in what in the process.
I'm looking in this room to see if anything's written in here. I think this is going to be a bathroom. And then over here, if you see any, speak up, Don, because I know the kids were here too. I saw them in a video she posted.
One thing too, here's a cross, and it says God and has a little heart on it.
Aw, this must be one of the kiddos' rooms. Yep.
A lot of times you'll walk through an affiliate's home and the volunteers will also write Bible verses or messages to the homeowners as they're putting up the studs. It's almost chilling.
What a wonderful inside story.
Yeah. Yes.
So I have a question. How do you feel, Amy, this has helped build our community here in the Cadillac area?
So it builds a community from the volunteers that come and see these families. We had Zion Lutheran Church here locally working on the house right next door the other day, putting on the floor joists and the subfloor. And they got to speak with the family because the family was here that day. The family in this house we're currently in did a tour with some of the people from the church. So the church was able to see and put their hands and feet to work, as God would say, you know. And so that helps. The community sees what we do. We increase taxable value of the people in the neighborhood. So these are new build houses or rehabbed houses that increase the value. So it is a win-win for anyone involved in the community. We're keeping the people that are our families typically that are part of our program are the food service workers. They're your daycare providers. They are the manufacturer people on the line. They are people that have jobs that work that need a safe place to live.
Yeah, and another thing, there's all kinds of statistics that show that homeowners are much more involved in local politics, philanthropic work, volunteering, all those things. Families that are living and owning in a community are much more invested into the community.
I think you should share the story about the gentleman you worked with in Holland.
So we had a homeowner that actually came to us from the homeless shelter, he and his wife and three kids. After they got into his house, he actually ran for and was elected to city council. He's served on city council now for at least 10 years. He's now a quality engineer, went back to school to get his engineering degree. And just this past year, we always have a homeowner picnic, and he came running up to me and was so excited because his oldest daughter just got a full ride scholarship to the University of Michigan.
Amen.
So
it changed the whole family. Yep.
So what can our listeners do, whether it's here in the Cadillac area or somewhere else, that there might be a Habitat for Humanity?
They can call their local affiliate and see where they are needed. If they want to, they can volunteer on the job site. They can volunteer in the ReStore. They can donate. They can donate cash. They can donate items. They can be a part of a committee. If you want to get involved and learn about Habitat, like, be a part of a committee and learn things. Like, so family support, a lot of affiliates have a family support committee which walks along the family through the whole journey, and they get to know them. They get to then, you know, create those bonds and relationships with them. What else do you have to add, Don?
Yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, just to be able to find out where the need is. A lot of people go, well, I don't know anything about construction. You don't even need to know which end of the hammer to hold. We will teach you that. Volunteering in the ReStore, volunteering on any decon committees or construction committees, homeowner services committees, we need volunteers for that. Obviously, financial donations are huge for us because we have to raise the money to build the homes. And lastly, just pray for Habitat. I mean, the work that we're doing right now, there is such a need for affordable housing, not only in Michigan, but all over the United States. It is, I always hate the term crisis because I think it's overused, but it definitely is a crisis at this point.
Well, there's a shortage of housing. Of course, me being a realtor, and not just in our area, but all over. Yeah. And a shortage of affordable housing, that's the big thing.
I was just going to say, part of the problem is builders are not building starter homes anymore. And I don't blame them. I mean, there's a lot more money on a $400,000 home.
But even a starter home, because my husband was a builder, it's not affordable.
It's not affordable. That's correct. Yep.
We, Don and I, last week with some other affiliates from Michigan, were in at the state capitol requesting some state appropriations funding for Habitat. And, you know, if you know people in your area that have a voice in Lansing, please tell them. Tell them we need housing. We need affordable housing. And if we could get that, you know, out there so people are talking about it and just stressing how much this need is.
Yeah.
Well, just not trying to overstate this, but you're just scratching the surface. It needs to be multiples. It's not double, it's not triple, it's not even 10 times.
Yeah.
It's 20, 30, 100 times more houses than we've
got. It's 3,400 houses in Wexford County are needed right now for rentals and new for sale homes. 3,400 houses are needed in Wexford County alone.
It's shortage of housing, yes. Of housing. Whether it's rentals or people being able to build or buy. But the other thing is, part of it is the regulations. I mean, my husband was a contractor, and some things it just... You know, these regulations have just priced out people being able to buy a home that's affordable.
Yeah, that's true. I know right now there's a new code book coming out, and I know that the Home Builders Association, along with Habitat for Humanity, are really arguing about some of those regulations because they're a little bit over the top, and they're going to cost. It's going to raise the cost of a home quite a bit.
And it just pushes that many more people out of the affordable housing. Mm-hmm. I want to close the program with this. You have a ceremony that when a person takes over a house or something, that's a moving experience, as I'm told. Will you share that with our listening audience?
We call that here locally our home blessing. So we invite the family and the volunteers and our builder and anyone who has had a part in that home to come and celebrate that home for the family. The last one we did, or one of the three we just did, it was a home build for a mother and her autistic son who's 25, and so she needed some modifications in the house for him, as never going to live on his own. He's always going to live with her. And so we put a big bathtub in that house because he loves baths. And he sat in that bathtub, and we took a picture at that home blessing, and he was so happy just to be able to have that tub that he could enjoy for the rest of his life. So.
Amen.
I can just imagine he was probably just giddy.
He was. It was so cute. He was kissing the walls in his bedroom, and he was holding our hand to take us back to his bedroom. It was just really like showed us why we do what we do. I mean, he's home. He's got his home. So.
Wow, what a great way to finish this program. Thank you for your work and all the volunteers. You mentioned that there's 1,000 affiliates across the United States all doing this very same thing. And listeners, you can't find greater joy than either becoming a part of Habitat Humanity as a volunteer or joining a similar organization. Find your place, give back to your community.
Amen. That's right. And Habitat, like Don said, you don't have to know how to do any construction, just going around helping to clean up. But what a wonderful thing to volunteer and be a blessing to someone else.
Well, for Strong Tower Radio, Jelaine Fenner and Tom Majeur on location with Habitat for Humanity. Bye now.
Bye.